Hi, good. I guess we'll say, I don't know, Shanav, Vach, whatever you want to call it, good, Bena, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. This is Yisachar Wortel, and we're here to talk about Sukkot, or Sukkot, whatever you want to call it. We have just finished Yom Kippur on Monday, and hopefully it was very meaningful. You had an easy fast. Hopefully all of your sins were mochel, atoned for, everything. And we are now moving to a time of amazing simcha, but also a potential time of amazing unity, which is something that I'm also about to be releasing a video dvar for this Sukkot, which you can find on my YouTube channel. I believe the handle is Yisachar, CHG, YISSOCHORCHG, which is also my email, YisacharCHG@gmail.com. If you want to give me any feedback, I'd appreciate it. Or feel free to comment on this or other videos. So I'll be talking about a slightly different aspect, but this does still have some things in common with what I speak about in the video dvar, as well as what I wrote for my written dvar this week. Also, again, if you'd like to be on my mailing list, also feel free to reach out to myself or anybody else at Sheer Enjoyment. They are working so hard, not just myself, but everybody is incredibly appreciative of all the work they do. All right, so let's get started. I listen to many different Torah, and one of the people that I listened to a few years ago, I believe this was through an audio shiur, it's possible I read it, I don't recall, was Rabbi Daniel Rowe, Rowe. He mentions that the number four corresponds to the four modalities or polarities of reality, which is kind of a strange term. But what it means is that there's four different aspects, right? There's the number four, which is one of the numbers that we see come up a lot by Sukkot and by Pesach, perhaps even more so by Pesach, but certainly by Sukkot. We have the Arba Minim, the four species. We also have the four walls. There are perhaps other aspects of four as well. But we also sort of have the four directions. Now, we really have six directions because we also have up and down. But in a plainer sense, we have PLANAR sense. We have four directions. We also apparently have the four languages that Hashem used to create the world, which is something I'm not as familiar with, and many other examples. Now, each one, Rabbi Rowe explains, has its own path and is inherently different from each other. And this is true by the Arba Minim, the four species. The Chazal teach that the Etrog corresponds to the heart, the Luav corresponds to the spine, the Hadassim corresponds to the eyes, and the Aravot correspond to the lips. So Rabbi Rowe explains that each one of these has a unique function. The lips are to both taste and to speak. The eyes are to see and perceive. The spine is to enable both posture and walking and various forms of movement. And the heart is the conduit for virtually everything that we do and feel. It's also interesting that the spine, the lulav, gives solidity and stability. And this stability you can also think of by a tree, right? Which is why it makes sense that the really tall tree is where the lulav comes from, the palm tree, right? It has a very tall trunk or a very tall spine. But if something is very tall and has the spine, but doesn't have a heart, it can't move, right? A tree doesn't move. I mean, it sways in the breeze, things like that, but it doesn't crawl, it doesn't move. There has to be some blood flow, so to speak, which is connected to the heart. It allows for a higher ability for life. It allows for ability to think. We're a lot of times connecting ideas of the heart and the brain, even the forage, things like that. Now, the eyes, explaining it deeper, not only allow for just vision and perception, but they also allow for a sense of differentiation, especially in higher organisms such as birds and mammals. The mouth allows, as I said, not just for speaking, but also for speech as well as signaling. And eventually, primarily in humans, some other animals as well, enhanced communication. And all are essential to all these high organisms, but no more so than to the human being. Another very, very famous teaching, perhaps the most famous teaching about the Arba Minim, is that the Etrog has a taste and a smell, which corresponds to a Jew who both has Torah or mitzvah and actively engages in Kimut Chasadim, charitable or altruistic acts, or has good midot. The lulav, which has a taste, referencing the date from the date palm, but doesn't have a scent, is one who is learned, but is not necessarily involved in a lot of charitable or good deeds. The hadas, which has a scent but no taste, is one who actively engages in Torah, but doesn't really implement it much in the world. Sorry, the other one was backwards. The lulav, which has a taste but no scent, is one who is not learned, but is involved in charitable and good deeds. Sorry, the hadas is the opposite. Right, he isn't involved so much with charitable and good deeds, but does engage in Torah. And the Arava is the simple Jew, perhaps the wicked Jew, but it could also be a simple Jew who is not learned and does not necessarily go out of his way to help others, even if maybe he does mean well. The Chazal teach that all four are indispensable. they teach at the Arba Minim also correspond to basically just anything that comes in Torah and Judaism in sets of four. They're all related. Just take it at face value. One thing that they all correspond to also is the four-letter ineffable name of Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it just corresponds to each one of those letters. The Chazal teach that, in a sense, whatever that means, this name is broken if not all four species are together, which means it's like the letters of Hashem's name are not together. That's why it's not enough to hold all four species separately. You can't hold two in one hand, two in the other, the etrog in one hand. They all have to touch each other. You have to hold them together. And Rabbi Rohl goes on to explain, as something that I've mentioned before, that there's also a fifth element that kind of binds, which is something I spoke about in a video, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be an actual egg, like Rabbi Huda in the Gemara says, but it could be your hands. It could be something that binds this entity. And that's the notion of unification, right? Of creating something which reunites things that were split or were separate entities. And it's interesting, it ties a little bit to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is about atonement, but it's also about rectification. We want to improve ourselves, not just to be forgiven for what we've done in the past, but we want to improve ourselves moving forward, which is also something that we really take upon ourselves, hopefully, on Rosh Hashanah. And now that we have independently worked on ourselves, we can now work on ourselves as a klal, as a kehila, as a group, as a collective. We can sit as a unit in the sukkah, non-religious and religious Jew alike, as one unit, and each person is indispensable. Each Jew is indispensable. Now, among the languages used by Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, is we have the fifth language of Hiveti. We have Hotzeiti, Hitzalti, Ga'alti, Lakachti, the four, I will take you out, I will take you, I will redeem you, I will bring you forth. Well, actually, bring you forth is the fifth one. I will redeem you. Whatever. I can't think of that right now. I apologize. But the fifth one, which is kind of like the one that kind of unites them all and can connect Eliyahu Navi in the times of Mashiach, or perhaps going to the Beit HaMikdash after Mitzrayim, is Veveti, I'll bring you forth, which is a sense of unity. So it's either unity all coming together at the Beit HaMikdash, or unity in the times of Mashiach where we're all together as one. In the times of Mashiach, we'll once again have our existence like before, from back, eventually maybe, but it's not clear exactly when it'll happen, but at some point we'll be as if it was before we left Gan Eden. Now, in Gan Eden, there is also a sense of four. In Bereishit, which we'll be reading pretty shortly, honestly, right? Simplest Torah is coming up, and then we start reading Bereishit. It mentions the four rivers. There are four mighty rivers, each going in a different direction, stemming out of Gan Eden. Now, the Sefer Menorah Tamaor explains that these four divergent rivers actually also relate to the Arba Minim, which is something fascinating. The first river is the Pishon, which is connected to the Arava. As it states in Yirmiyahu, Ki tismachu ki ta'aluzu shosi, nachalat ti, ki ta'pushu ta'agladasha. For you have rejoiced, you have exulted, you have plundered my nachala, for you have stamped like a threshing calf. Very, very complex pasuk that's not easy to connect, but nonetheless, it does have this lashon of pusha, which means to, in this case they translate it as stamp, it could also mean to go out. And Arava is mentioned because we mentioned Nachal, which means portion, but also can mean a stream, and the Arava they're called Arvi Nachal. So there's a connection there. Also, the word Pishon, without the suffix, is Pish, Peyud Shen, which is numerically to the, and sort of almost rearranged as the word Hasafa, the lip. And we know Arava correspond to the lips. And the Menorah Tamaor notes an additional connection that the rote push, even though in this case it kind of means to like kind of crush or press, it often usually means to spread out. And willows or aravot, especially those that grow by riverbanks, pop up non-uniformly and can grow out sporadically and wildly and outward rather than clusters. So that's one connection. There's actually a lot there. The second river is the Gihon, which literally means belly. And we all know appetite comes from what we see with our eyes, and lo and behold, hadasim correspond to the eyes. Now the root gich, gimel yurchet, means to extend or burst forth, and may perhaps allude to the nature of the leaf clusters of the hadas, which come kind of up in these little clusters being piled close to top each other, seemingly rushing towards the top. And this root of gich is also numerically equivalent to the word chazu, which means you shall see, which again is connected to the eyes. Now the Menorah Tamaor also notes that this word of gichon is initially used by the Torah for the snake crawling on its belly, which again we will see in Bereishit. And hadas plants grows with its leaf very close to the ground, almost as if a snake was crawling on its belly. The Gihon and the Pishon are also the only two rivers mentioned that have suffixes of the Vav Nun, implying that they are somewhat of a pair, thus furthering the notion that they are the Arava and Hadas, which are both put to the side of the Luach. The third river is the Chedeko, which is similar to the, very similar actually to the word Hadeko, which means the palm tree in Aramaic. And in fact, the Assyrian word for this river is Dikla, the Chedeko that is, again illustrating the word Dikla, palm tree. And the Lulav is also the spine, and the palm tree is one of the most straight trees and certainly the most erect of the four species. The fourth river is the Prat, or Euphrates, which can also be read as Perot, and comes from the root of pre, meaning fruitfulness. And that's clear that this corresponds to the Etrog. It's the only river that does not come with a qualification such as its location. It just says Prat. Ironically, it's the one we know where it is now. Now, Chazal teach that one of the reasons the Etrog is called Prihates Hadar, Hadar, is because it's the only tree whose fruit tastes identical to the wood. It is self-sufficient in a certain sense. So too, one who is full of Torah and Masim Tovim, good deeds, might think he is self-sufficient. He has all of these fruits. He's very fruitful. He has all of these mitzvot. He has these good deeds. He has everything. So why is the Etrog not enough? No, taking the Etrog alone is not enough. No matter how good you are, you alone are not enough. You're important, but other people are important as well. All four species, all four types of Jews, all four different types of people and representations must be taken, and they must be taken as one. And that gives us hope that someday soon we'll all come together, like the different Arba Minim, as one collective in one sense of unity. May it speedily be in our days. Chag Sameach, and also Shabbat Shalom.